I endured years of anxiety. It was a mess. It became irritable bowel syndrome, and it was just it was so bad I could hardly even drive from the office, from my house to the office, a 20-minute drive without looking for a bathroom. It was just stupidity. You know, it's just whacked, and it was all here. It's all up in the mind. And I ended up going to an apostolic and prophetic conference. It was up in Dearborn, Michigan, which is about a 5-hour drive from here. And on that 5-hour drive, I hit about every rest stop on the way, you know. And, you know, as you end up going, nothing's happening. But by golly, you know, your brain is saying, ha-ha! Not a pretty way to hang out. So I ended up going to this church up in Dearborn, Michigan. And I'd never been to a church where they had security around it, all right? So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say they're armed. I mean, maybe they were. I didn't visibly see. Didn't see any guns and the like. But by golly, there was security there. Big boys. Big boys. And I walk into the place, and it was great because it was primarily an African-American congregation. Now, I was raised Roman Catholic, and for those who aren't familiar with the Roman Catholic traditions for their masses or worship, if you will, the sense that you go in, you sing a song, you listen to some stuff, you might sing another song or so, and by golly, you're out of there. So I walk in there, and they start the music. Okay. Now, the neat thing with going into churches that are different like that is their methods, the way they worship. They worship. They get their hands in the air. I mean, some of them would even get out into the aisles, and they just got into it. We had like 45 minutes of music. Now, remember, I'm used to one hymn, right? And then we got 45 minutes of this. Well, I can tell you after 3 days of this, I'm doing this, right? And actually, that's probably about the only thing I don't like about being up here in the praise band. My hands are busy, but I can't do this. So when we do an acapella piece like we did on the last song, where I can actually free my hands up, that's a great moment for me. Well, and actually, when we do the doxology, if you watch me when we sing the doxology on Sundays, you notice that's another place I can do that, because that's how I choose. Because it's interesting, because think about this. Bruce will agree. When you put your hands up, you're vulnerable, right? You're vulnerable. And so when you're putting your hands up in praise to God, you're saying, it's not about me, it's about you. I'm vulnerable. It's all about you. But anyway, we sat, I got to hear a number of different speakers over 3 days. And over those 3 days, one of the speakers was a guy named Dr. Roger Sapp, which is the primary reason I went up there. He wrote a book that Mom gave me called Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. And within that book, and it's a small book, it's physically so big and so thick, it's an easy read, 80 pages or so. But within that book, he takes scripture and proves that it's God's will for healing. Because everybody that came to Jesus for healing received. Jesus never said, oh, sorry, God's teaching you a lesson there, you know, come back later. Oh, you know, your time's not, come back in 2 weeks. No, they came, they received, all right? And it really was that simple. So over those 3 days, Dr. Sapp was speaking along with other speakers. Lots of music, lots of speaking. It was neat. On the third day, how appropriate, right? The third day, the last day we were there, Dr. Sapp has been sharing all this. And Dr. Sapp is a teacher, okay? Dr. Sapp's not a, hey, come to me and I'll lay hands on you and be healed. He's trying to encourage people because in Mark 16, verses 16 and 17, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, okay? So it's as simple as believing. You can pray for people. You can lay hands and pray. Now, I won't disagree with you that some people are more gifted in certain areas. Like, for example, one of my more primary gifts is for healing. And and it's my true belief that people who've received healing like I did, and I haven't even shared with you how I received it yet, that ends up being a big motivator. It really ignites things in it. But anyway, Dr. Sepp said, who wants to be healed? And there's about 80 of us out there. Of course, everybody always needs something, right? He said, who wants to learn how to do this stuff? I'm a doer. And my hand goes up. He said, come forward. So there's about 16 out of the 80, about 16 of us came forward. He put us into groups of four. Then he said to everybody else, I said, come to these groups. They're going to tell you what their needs are. You're going to lay hands and the Holy Spirit is going to touch them. And it was really cool. We felt heat. We felt cold. We felt tingling. We felt the power of the Spirit going into people. It was great. We were seeing backs taken care of and eyesight, and it was cool. But then we got done with all of them. The four of us started praying for ourselves, and I was the last one, and I had them lay hands on my belly. Remember the irritable bowel and all that garbage. So they lay hands on my belly, and as they were praying for me, I physically felt things moving inside my body. And I know it wasn't my imagination, because the lady to my right, who had her hand right here, when I felt it, she'd go, boop, boop. Because she was feeling it too. And the best way for me to describe it is the feeling I had when I laid my hand on my wife's belly with the girls kicking, you know, and the child is the baby's in there kicking. That's about the way it felt. But God was fixing me, all right? Which is really cool. But before we left there, Dr. Sapp told the group, he said, all right. He said, you've been healed. He said, now for some of you, the devil's going to try to trick you and make you think this is just all a feel good. He said, but I have good news. He said, all you have to do is reclaim your healing. And Dr. Sapp has a saying, it's this healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. So I said, great. So now I'm leaving. I'm starting on my 5-hour drive back, right? About a half hour. I'm feeling great. About a half hour or so into my drive, I'm starting to feel that oh so familiar discomfort with the irritable bowel garbage and stuff trying to come with me. And I said, uh-uh. So I put my hand on my belly as I'm driving down the road, and I said out loud, I said, this healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. Just like that, it stopped. Like, oh. At that point, I understood the true meaning of Ephesians 6:12, which says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness. So at that point, I really understood this battle of good and evil, okay? And that's huge. That's just an absolutely huge, huge revelation with that. So at that point, I would declare that I was probably 95% healed at that point. And the reason I say 95%, because every now and then I'd have time situations where I'd get anxious, I'd get nervous, I'd get the irritable bowel stuff would mess with me. It wasn't every day, all right? But certain situations and circumstances would cause that and trigger it. So I was talking to a guy, his name is Joel Jackson, a guy I knew on Facebook. And Joel has a neat little ministry. What Joel would do is in California, he'd go out to bus stops for high schoolers. And while they're waiting for the bus, he'd minister them. He'd tell them about Jesus. He'd lay hands and pray for them. He was a fun guy. And as I'm talking with Joel, he said, Greg, I feel like there's something I need to pray for you about. And I said, well, Joel, you know, I got this last 5%. So I'd love to get rid of this last 5%. He said, Greg, I want you to read Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Speak that out loud first thing every morning for at least the next 30 days. So, can't hurt, right? It's God's word. That sounds good. So I did that, and I've been doing that every day since I spoke to him back in February 2009. It was earlier than that. It was around that era. Because it's a profession, it's a declaration of faith. And as soon as your feet hit the floor in the morning, you've got to have your focus on the goodness. But you're focusing on Christ. Because that's what we're called to do. So that's what happens when my feet hit the floor, and this is not exaggeration. You gotta put your body into it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Remember, I was anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we give it all to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things have you both learned, heard, received, and seen in me do. And the peace of God, it shall be with you. Declaring that each morning, what does that do? That's a battle cry, isn't it? I'd say I'm not gonna be putting up with this. See, I played defense for so many years. You know, letting the enemy just smacking me around in my belly, the irritable bowel. I just let it beat me up, and I was just trying to find man's ways to get around it. I played defense for too many years. Now I play offense. And that's what happens when you get up in the morning. So when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil should say, Allison's up. Bruce is up. I can go down the list, guys. Come on. That's where it's got to be. Because the enemy has to fear you. Now, the Bible tells us, the sons of Sceva, I can't remember the chapter and verse here right now. But what happened was, the sons of Sceva, there were 7 sons of Sceva, all right? And they had witnessed where, was it Paul or Peter? either Peter or Paul, one of the two, had been praying, all right, in the name of Jesus. And they were seeing this healing and thought, cool, they're praying in the name of Jesus. So they've got this person who's possessed by a demon. And they go in there and they say, you know, in the name of the Jesus that Paul speaks of, you know, I command that, you know, you leave. And the demon looks at the seven sons of Sceva and says, Jesus, I know, but who are you guys? All right. What that's saying there is, yeah, you just, all you did is do a name. You don't know who Jesus is. You know, you just spoke a name. So the funny part is, the guy who was possessed by the demon, he ends up ripping their clothes off, and anyway, they run off naked. All right. Now, to quantify that, when the Bible talks about naked, that usually means they're in their undergarments. That's what they consider to be naked. But still, you know, it was an embarrassment thing for them to do that, because they truly didn't know Jesus. They'd heard it, they saw it, they witnessed it, and they did that. You recall we have other things too, where some of the ministries where Paul was going through, there was a guy who was into sorcery, the darkness, right? He'd do the magic stuff, right? So he was people were impressed by him. So Paul comes into town, starts telling about Jesus. Paul's laying hands on people and he's seeing people healed, right? So now this guy's like, hey, this works better than what I'm doing. He said, and then he offers Paul money. He said, here, I'll pay you. You show me. and Paul looked at him and said, because you've all tried to buy this, because remember, it's by grace that we receive these things. He said, because to kind of buy this, Paul cursed the guy. All right. And this guy was immediately went blind. Couldn't see. Like, whoa. You know, think about that. You remember when Jesus walked up to the fig tree? A nice little innocent fig tree, right? What harm can a fig tree do? He goes up there. Jesus is hungry. He goes up to a fig tree. He wants to eat something. Well, there's no figs on that tree, at least not this time of year anyway. So Jesus curses a fig tree. Cursing me, and he said, you're useless to me. Just die. So you recall they come back later, and what happened with the fig tree, right? It withered up from the root. Actually, one of the translations says it happened right there when he spoke it. Others say that they walked by it later, and they saw that it had died, you know, from the roots up. But it's the power of our words. And that's why I mentioned, you know, when I get up in the morning, declaring scripture, how powerful that is. Because at that point, you're setting the tone for the day. You're saying, I'm up. I'm going to choose joy. I'm not going to focus on the darkness. Because how many times in our lives do we recall we're getting up, it's like, oh, it's going to be a bad day. you know, this doesn't look good. Oh, it's raining outside. Oh, there's snowing outside. Oh, you know, whatever. It doesn't look good. That's a choice we make, isn't it? It is a choice. Yeah. So that Philippians, so that's what I was rolling through with on the Philippians. But Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And actually, if you go even past verse 9, which I declared out to you, there's actually let me just read a little bit to you there past it. This is actually starting at verse 10, Philippians 4, 10. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Remember, he's speaking to the Philippians is who he's speaking to. That you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it's like to be in need, and I also know what it's like to have plenty. Because remember, he'd gone through both sides. Paul had gone through both sides of this, because he was in great favor, of course, when he was persecuting the Christians. And then flipped it around the other way. He said, I learned the secret of being content, and in every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You've heard that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right. So this is all in Philippians 4. Remember, I just rattled off the 4 through 9 part of it. All right. So he continues. He said, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. So the Philippians had actually given him gold and whatever, you know, wherever the money type of exchange was that and other whatever his other needs. But this was the only church that did that. He said, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again. So this church sent to him when he was far away. They actually sent monies to him still. All right, they're still supporting him. Kind of like this Nicaragua, right? We got Linda going to Nicaragua, and the praise band is blessed to be able to be part of that on August, Saturday, August the 5th. So that's coming up. And he said, Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am ample supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that were sent. And they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So that's Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, Matthew 6 echoes a lot of that also. Because in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. So what are all these things? Everything that was mentioned in the first 32 chapters in Matthew, which essentially says all your needs, your food, your shelter, your protection. It just goes down the list. So if you accept, you believe. So there you go, combination testimony and a little bit of scripture to back it up, right? This is always a good place to be. What have we got going on for comments, thoughts, before we get some prayer requests stuff? I've got to find a piece of paper.